This is the Don and Mike Show. Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations and restrictions for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the Don and Mike Show, 10800 Main Street, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
So the plan is, I guess, that we're going to see each other every day of the week now.
Yes, please.
Great. Every day.
7 days a week. It's more togetherness than we could ever hope for.
Every day of the week. Well, hi. Our new station in Hawaii. Hi. Welcome.
Aloha.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Aloha.
Now, so many things are going to be different at the beginning of today's show and today's show only. Because we've got too much to get to.
We have a lot of stuff.
We've got all of the tapes.
We all slept together this weekend.
Yes. Mike singing the national anthem. We've got all of the tapes of us at the baseball game, of Robert the Mailman really giving the performance of his life.
Yes.
A performance that even I found, while hilarious, so embarrassing.
A bit much.
I had to leave. Now, and none of it was directed
at... My children were fascinated by him.
None of it was directed at me, mind you.
He will fascinate you.
It was simply the bellowing voice behind me. Yes.
I had to keep explaining...
The variety of
to
insults.
My kids that he really didn't mean what he was saying to Tom, even though I knew that really wasn't true.
Have you perhaps created a monster? Another monster?
He loves to say, entertain. Monsters.
Yes. He loves to entertain.
Yes.
He truly does.
We all do.
And he was incredibly generous.
Yes, he was.
Buying everybody snacks.
And throwing it into the crowd.
Yes.
So we've got all of that to get to. Okay.
Understand, the Potomac Nationals are going to hire Robert.
And of course, Mike singing the national anthem.
God, I was nervous.
Then we've got Jew hater Mel Gibson, who's all over the place. God, we want to talk about him.
Yes.
We've got plenty of other weekend stuff to talk about. Our show open contest. Listen, I'm afraid that unless we get some extra time today to hear some entries,
right,
by the time tomorrow's show rolls around, we will have our winners.
Okay.
Have we gotten a lot more entries?
Yeah, we've been negligent in giving show time to listen to all of them on the air.
Right.
But pulled off that commitment of playing 60 seconds from each one, right?
No, we did not.
Well, we're still going to do that?
Well, I don't know where we're going to find the 60 seconds to play.
Right.
The
not on today's show.
No.
John had really glowing reviews for the ones that came in over the weekend.
Wow. The last minute entry.
Are you being sarcastic?
I am.
Ha-ha!
Well done.
Johnny.
If we get a chance, well, at some point we'll save them. And God knows.
Good.
If we ever have a show moment where we need, you know, emergency, must break, in case of need, funny.
Yeah, right. Keep that on the shelf.
We'll go to them.
Very good.
But I think tomorrow we'll have your 20 finalists, and we'll just start the show with one of the 20 finalists.
Right. Now, after the contest is formally over, will we still occasionally entertain these things, or is that it? Is the deadline tomorrow? After tomorrow, there are no entries received.
That's it.
Okay.
That's it for a while. Maybe we'll change it up later.
Of course.
But tomorrow we will announce the 20 or so winner, maybe more than 20.
Wow.
And we got to figure out a prize for all those people.
Good.
And their opens will rotate on the show on a daily basis. So I hope we have time to get to everything.
Yeah.
But understand that the reason that we're starting this way today is that there's something I know everybody in this room has to get out of our system first before we even get to all the other stuff, which is going to be pretty good listening.
You think so?
I think. Mike, I think so.
I think you're right.
I will refer to myself here as the boss, not like as the boss, like a dickhead like Michael Hughes, but as like Tony.
Gang leader.
Boss of the crew.
Right.
Yeah, you were.
Okay.
You were.
And in that regard, we recently had great ratings thanks to you guys. And I always, behind the scenes, do something for everybody. I always light people up and take care of them. Yeah, give them a gift or give them some dough and say thanks for the hard work.
Right,
well,
right.
I had done nothing for Rob and nothing for Buzz, and frankly, I don't give a gift to Mike.
Right. Of course not. No, that would be kind of redundant.
Exactly.
I mean, we don't give each other gifts when we have good ratings.
We haven't done that for 20 years.
It's stupid.
We do something for each other at Christmas and birthdays. That's it.
And when we get really drunk.
You've already given each other the greatest gift.
That's
yourselves.
That's, we give each other.
When,
we give ourselves to each other.
That's
when
right.
we get really drunk.
That's
when we're
right.
really sloppy.
Yeah. We put on that cowboy movie. That fag cowboy movie.
And then I wish I could quit you.
And then the sharing begins.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm sitting outside, and incidentally, my girlfriend can attest to the fact that there is still a small pile, albeit not as many, but a small pile of those baby frog carcasses.
Oh, I bet they're dry.
That have been frying out
by the... I bet they're desiccated.
By the pool. Anyway, I was sitting out there, and I was reading the paper on Saturday, and... really reading it, you know, like you do on a Saturday great.
When you have time to just break the whole thing
out. When you've got nothing to do. So nobody I'm reading knows. All the stuff I don't, you know, front to back. Right. I get to the style section, third section. I'm reading everything. I get all the way down to where it's like, Ask Amy. Some stupid bitch column where it's like, Dear Amy, my friends are getting married, but they want money instead of, can you help me? You know, dear stupid, anyway, I'm just, at this point, I said, I'm done with this part of the paper. Right. And I looked, and there's a tiny, tiny picture, as big as a postage stamp, of Wayne Newton.
Oh, that's too small.
And it says, things to do this weekend. And I get out my glasses. Because this is really how small it is, and my eyesight is not good up close.
But he catches your eye.
Right. I see him. And I see, okay, let me see, Loudoun County Fair. Okay. There's a horse show somewhere. Okay. There's a carnival somewhere.
What to do.
Then it says, Wayne Newton at the Birchmere.
Huh.
And I look again, and I think, this has to be a misprint, because it's got to be like a, you know, like one of those fake Elvis guys like Rob and I have gone to see.
A Wayne Newton tribute band.
Right. Like Michael Hoover.
So, no, I call up. Is Wayne Newton performing?
Real thing?
Yes.
Huh. At a wonderful, smaller venue.
Tomorrow night, at this club that holds about 400 people.
Supper club.
So, I call Rob, and I said,
Supper club.
I said, I got an idea.
Oh.
I would like to take everybody. I know we're going to have a lot of togetherness this weekend.
Right.
And we're all going to be at the ball game on Saturday. We're all going to be plenty sick of each other by then.
Right.
But really, Sunday, I said, I pray this works. I said this to Rob first. I pray that everybody's okay with this.
Sure. You were putting it on the line this weekend.
Yeah. Because
This was you taking a chance.
Because I didn't get anybody's...
Educated gamble.
I didn't get anybody's official permission. I tried to call Mike, and I got Carla instead. I said, is Mike available on Sunday night? And she said yes. And I called Marcia, and Buzz wasn't at home. I said, is Buzz available Sunday night? And she said yes. And so I called Rob, and I said, well, screw it. Get us tickets.
Sunday night, usually a pretty safe bet. It's quiet time.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's not, you know, not a big social calendar.
Get us tickets, and here's my request. Because it's going to be kind of a goof,
right?
You know, to see Wayne Newton, who we've goofed on, you know,
forever.
God knows forever. Not like Jerry, but really we've goofed on him. I said, I think we really should all wear suits.
Yeah, not only did you set up the evening, but you also, you know, established the dress code.
Right.
That we were going to go in our Vegas finery, which kind of goes with going to see Wayne Newton.
It's a casual place. Most people don't dress that way to go there.
We were the best dressed men in the room.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There were even flip-flops in the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
I believe we were the only
T-shirts.
Men wearing suits.
That's
except
right.
for one.
Really?
The man on stage.
There was one man who was better dressed than we were. He was wearing a tuxedo.
So before we even start with this... thank you to the Birchmere.
Oh my God.
They kissed our ass.
I'm going back so there. Nice. I mean, they really could not have been nicer.
Hey,
on short notice, too.
Yanni.
Yeah. Hey, Yanni.
Hi there.
Yanni, why don't you put those things up right now on the Daily Log?
All right, I'll get on it.
And give them a slot on the picture page as well.
Yeah.
You might as well see the happy ending. I mean, we'll tell you what leads up to the happy ending.
We had a happy ending.
Yeah, there's a happy ending.
We sure did, friend.
It was so...
We sure did.
It was so different than anything that I'd ever thought it would be. It was fantastic. It was the...
Did you even think that there was any possibility we'd have that much fun? It's like everybody that does what we do. You go to see Wayne Newton. It's kind of a novelty.
I thought it would be a goof. Yeah. A good
kind
chance.
Of a goofy thing to do.
I said, you know, wear your shiniest clothes.
Right.
And let's go like mobsters, and let's go see Wayne Newton. So as it turns out, it's festival seating, which means, you know, first come, first serve.
Ah.
This is where it gets, in my mind, even funnier.
Mm-hmm.
Rob has gotten there earlier, and as mentioned to the owner, you know, that he's, you know, hi, I'm Rob Spiewak. Because you'll find that while at many times Kong...
Anasawa Kong!
Well, many times Rob Spiewak,
the eighth wonder of the world.
Many times he's very slow,
Kong,
and just slow as molasses.
Did you ever hear of Kong?
In this case, the chance to meet Wayne Newton
He was there, I think the show started at 7 o'clock. Rob was there at 2:30 in the afternoon.
He's on this, like, white on rice. Now, I'm trying to find this place, right, using whatever the you know, the car where it's saying make a left-hand turn in 25 seconds. And
for whatever reason, this location was a little tricky.
My phone keeps ringing, and I see it's Rob, and I don't pick it up, and I get the message, you know, hi, I don't know where you are, but there's a chance, just a chance, we can get backstage if you are here by 6:45. Repeat, by 6:45 p.m. Hope you can make it. Call me back. Bye. So he's in that hyper, I'm going to get it done, get my picture with Wayne Newton.
Right.
We all arrive.
And at that point, you really had no interest in meeting him.
No, we were going to go to the show as a group.
I mean, if we had gotten a chance to go backstage before the show, it would have been fine, but it wasn't anything that really jacked us up. Now, this is all going
to
change.
I just wanted to buy the tickets for the guys, take everybody out for a night, say thanks for, you know, being a part of the crew, and let's have
a drink.
Some drinks and some laughs.
Kind of a boys' night out.
Right.
Well, what happens is the people at this place, at the Birchmere, it's very reminiscent of Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Right. That scene when Ray Liotta walks into the Copacabana, and there's nowhere to sit. But they put a table right up front.
We got a great, great table.
One lone empty table.
If we didn't feel like...
Are you going to mention the ladies out in the waiting
Cougars
area? The Cougars out in the waiting area?
Yeah. Well, now keep in mind, we are wearing our best mafia clothes.
Yeah. Don has the tie. Rob has the tie. I got the T-shirt underneath the suit. Buzz has the open collar look, the sexy open collar look.
My Peter Long.
But we're all wearing jackets.
Yeah.
So
good night for it.
Most people are
perfect night.
Most people are going into the auditorium to get their seats because it's it's first come first serve.
Right.
Now, little did I know, Rob said they had some seats that had been saved for us.
Right.
I didn't know that what they had inside was a gigantic table, right off stage.
We
with like crime scene tape around it.
We pulled the Goodfellas thing by accident. We didn't know it was going to look like that.
No.
Till we walked into the venue and I didn't know. Did you know there were going to be that many people in there?
Now, by the time we arrive, the guy, the manager of the Birchmere, comes over and he says hello. Now, there are these cougars, real live cougars, swear to God, Waniac cougars. These chicks are 50. They look like they live in tanning beds.
Right.
They kind of look like, Susan Lucci in a bizarro way.
Yeah. Not necessarily unattractive.
No, not a bad thing.
They're at the bar, and we get there, and we're sticking out, like sore thumbs.
We're having our big tumblers full of booze.
Huh. Right. And the manager is coming over, and he couldn't be nicer, and he's making, we're exchanging pleasantries, and we're meeting members of the wait staff, and then the guy comes out and says, Wayne, might be able to see you after the show.
We meet the managers, we meet the owners, we have pictures, we sign casts. It was fun.
John Brinegar is the manager there.
So while John this could is not like, have been nicer.
While this is going on, one of the women says to Rob, are those guys in the mafia?
Talk about me and Don. And I realized how we looked at that moment, where we did look seriously like we just flew in from Vegas. We're part of the Vegas mob.
And Rob and I looked like henchmen.
And I got so,
you did.
I got so mad at him because the answer is, of course, you look at her seriously and say, just like Tony, there is no mafia.
There is no mafia.
There is.
Hey, I'm in waste management.
There is no mafia.
It's a stereotype. It's a stereotype, Cougars.
Anyway, we're waiting to get into this show, and it's almost showtime, and we go in, and it's packed. And just like in Goodfellas, there's this table right up front.
Yeah. It was wonderful.
Dead center.
There might as well have been a spotlight on it. It was so obvious.
I loved it.
We come in like swinging decks.
Because I didn't know people had been there for an hour.
Yeah.
And I didn't know because we were watching people kind of filter in. And I said, boy, where is everybody? Well, they were all inside. And we walk in to a supper club that is packed to the rafters. And there was our little table.
Perfect.
With the reserved placard on it.
And walked in about 2 minutes before the show.
We did. We walked in 2 minutes before. It was fantastic.
With our booze in hand.
So now this is before the show even starts. This is, as far as we're concerned, already a successful evening because the people at the Birchmere had been so cool. They'd gotten us the nice reserved table. So,
and I'm very happy because I didn't know how people were going to react to this. If Mike and I know Rob would love it. I didn't know if Mike and Buzz were going to go along. But as it turns out, we're having drinks.
Right.
And,
it's
funny because we get wheeled in. We're like, 10 feet away from the stage.
Right, amazing.
You'd
have fist fights.
From them.
And I'd end up at the short end of that stick. I took up karate. because I wanted to kill my brother. I was that angry.
There you go.
Wayne feared he was going to have a nervous breakdown. His weight swelled to 275 pounds.
Oh, my, Wayne.
The more frustrated I became, the more I ate. And I didn't even realize I was eating. I wasn't eating to live. I was just eating because it took my mind off of the things I didn't want to think about.
Wayne, you look good. You did.
He didn't weigh 275 last night.
No, he didn't.
Wayne, so, you know, I get these tickets as a goof, and we all show up, and we
and
get
we're
in.
We're thinking, really, are we not thinking that we're all going to be there for maybe a third of the show?
Yep.
And we're going to split. You know, and we're going to get the novelty of the of being there, and then we're going to, you know, we're going to say, M's great.
Gone. I've already, you know, pegged Mike to be gone within the first half hour. You know, not that Mike's
when
I've
not set the table. I mean, the first discussion I had with you when you pulled in after I pulled in, and I said, make sure that they park you where you'll be able to get out. Otherwise, you'll be parked in until the
right.
end of the show.
Right.
So we sat down, and the show starts.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And it's him. Okay. It's him. And we're so freaking close to him.
But well, here's the deal. This is what got me. It got me from the... What does he start the show with?
He starts
Viva
with
Las
Viva.
Vegas.
Yeah. Viva Las Vegas.
Viva Las Vegas. And I was there. I was hooked.
But before that, they played the 2001 a Space
Odyssey. Yeah, 2001 theme.
And then the Elvis thing.
The Elvis vamp.
Bow down.
Mike can do the big voice announcer.
Bow down.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. And it's the deep voice background singer
right.
that
right.
is his announcer.
Right.
And you know what? Everybody's in tuxedos.
Yes, everybody.
It's a little piece of Vegas. 14-piece orchestra.
Strings.
And there he is. He comes out. He's got his tux. He's got the red kerchief.
Yep.
He's got the diamond studs. It's Wayne effing Newton.
That's right.
And well, I didn't know until
that's
it
not
started.
That's not how he's introduced, is Wayne effing Newton.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Wayne effing Newton.
Should have been.
It was. I was instantly hooked.
Oh, you sucked right in.
Because it's... there aren't people like that anymore.
That's true.
It was... Here is why it was...
It's the classic example of the dying breed. You don't get schmaltzy showbiz type guys, and he is...
Here's
he
why
is Wayne 100%. Newton.
Here's why it was great and funny. Because on one hand... Really, there was a part where there was a real excitement, and it was a real show with real talented musicians and Wayne Newton, and we were real close to it. And when he would do something goofy or say something jive that we would goof on, I would have a private show because I would be able to look right at Rob or look right at Mike. You know, and many times with Mike just say, you know, when he's up there talking about, you know, I had to move from Roanoke, Virginia when I got acute asthma.
Hey, he's a Virginian.
And people are applauding that. And I'm looking at Mike, and we're just toasting, and Mike's ordering us another double. And we're like, do you just believe how great jive this is?
It was so...
About,
he delivered the goods.
About 30 minutes into the show, he stops, and he says, ladies and gentlemen, I want to say to Alice B. Ghostly, who's out there. Sorry, out there, sweetheart. Happy birthday.
This was unexpected.
Yeah. Happy 27th birthday to darling.
I guess we got to thank the Birchmere for this.
I think so, yeah.
Right?
And also I'd like to say, fellas, where are you? The guys from the Don and Mike show are here tonight. Stand up, fellas.
So, and just like in Vegas, the house lights come up.
Right.
And applause from the audience.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And all the tards in the audience.
But we get a round of applause.
Start applauding us.
And it's not our demographic.
And
no,
we stand
or
up.
Maybe it is our demographic.
We stand up and we're going, hey, thank you. And he's pointing at us. Yeah.
Did you see me give the we're not worthy wave to where I put the arms in front of me and I bow bend from the waist? Yeah. Yes.
It's funny. It
was amazing. Oh, we're transported back to like 1975 Vegas.
Yeah,
really. Totally.
You know, and keep in mind, back in 1975, how old were we? Like 16?
Yeah.
You know, it's the 70s Vegas that we've seen in movies that we theorize. It's like when we were kids and you would watch Happy Days and you would think, were the 50s really like that?
Right.
Okay, well
that, you know,
we had
a night
last night that was like almost what we imagined it would have been like.
Well, Vegas now is a bunch of, you know, queens in pajamas, you know, flying through the air on a trapeze.
Yeah.
So he does...
Cirque du Fagay.
He does... Before before we start dissecting exactly what Wayne said on stage, and thank God we don't need a tape recorder for that. We have Rob's head.
Like a sponge last night.
Yeah. And especially
I just
his closing.
Say, I've been out to Las Vegas more than any of you guys, and I've gone to a lot of shows out there. And
you
really,
sure have, Mike.
This is what you do. I mean, this is, to me, you know, you're not bored. It's just, it's so jive. It's so phony showbiz.
But it's great. 4 days I've had 5 hours sleep. I will go and go and go and go, and then I'll sleep for like 36 hours.
I love that man.
Hold on. Here's a really
I'm a Wayniac, Rob.
Johnny Carson began a routine about Wayne that seemed to mock his masculinity.
You know, I'd done his show 20 times. Why would he be making those jokes about me? And he would say things like, I don't know if you've seen Wayne Newton and Liberace in the same bathtub, but it is pink.
The new Wayne Newton was...
He made a Liberace joke last night.
He did.
Yes,
he did. When he was at the piano.
Unannounced and confronted him.
Timely.
And I closed the door. And I said, I don't know why you're doing that kind of trash humor about me, but it better stop, and it better stop now, or I'm going to knock you on your ass. It's that simple. I'm sorry it had to happen, because I was a big fan of his, and maybe therein lies the real problem. I was hurt more than I was angered or felt threatened about
sure.
my masculinity.
The jokes stopped.
He's a large man.
Yeah.
So
he is very tall.
Mm-hmm. We've played these tapes. We've always talked when we've been out in Las Vegas, when we've all been out there together.
Right.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Who's the one guy we'd all go see?
Wayne Newton.
In a minute.
Come on. Sure.
So we see him, and then we'll talk about the show and what he had to say later. They come back and after the show, right after the show, they say, Wayne would like to meet you. Come on back, and you're going to be first. There's going to be it's the parade of slobbering dogs.
Right. It's the best, one of the best backstage kind of deals that I've ever had. It was just so quick. No waiting. You go back there, and it was a payoff.
So we say, okay. And now we really don't know what to expect.
Right.
We get backstage, and he's standing there, and he's wearing his black velvet post-show robe.
Oh, yes. Man. His smoking jacket.
Embroidered. embroidered. Fancy embroidered.
Did it have an embroidery? Yeah. Oh, did it have a W on there? Or
I don't know what it was embroidered.
WN?
But there was lots of piping.
And it was like, with each of us, it was like, I said, hello, a pleasure to meet you. It was on with Mike and with Rob now, because he had already met you. What did he say?
This was such a great moment. And he talked to Don, he talked to Mike, he shook Buzz's hand, and he turned to me and he says, and I've met this outlaw already.
This outlaw. It was, there he is, Mr. Las Vegas.
So we're standing there, and we got like 8 million pictures taken with him because we're stupid like that. And I think they're probably up on our website now as we speak.
Yeah, I mean, it was surreal.
We're mooks.
You know, it happens. I do want to say thank you to everybody at the Birchmere, because they were the
best.
Ones. They could have been difficult. And what was funny is the people we could have, too. Well, you know, I mean, a lot of people say, hey, what kind of spin are you going to put on this? I said, we're going to do what we're doing right now. We went in as a goof. It was still a goof for most of it, some of the stuff he said. But we left very satisfied. I don't stay for shows like that.
And what's even funnier.
I never stay at a show like that.
What's even funnier than that is because we are on a regionally syndicated coast-to-coast show. One of the cities that we are heard in regularly is Las Vegas,
right,
where most of these cats hang out. Mm-hmm. So it was very nice, and I thought, like a weird turn of events when we were standing mm-hmm. in his dressing room, and I think it was the drummer.
Yeah, and I think the guitarist.
And the guitarist,
I think,
were both standing there.
They listen out in Vegas.
Waiting to meet us, like we had been waiting to meet Wayne Newton, and I said to them, why, I said to the one guy, the drummer, he said, can I get a picture? I said, sure. I said, why do you want my picture? I said, why do you think I wanted my picture with Wayne Newton? Come on. Come on.
Here's the way it went down.
That's what he said, you wanted your picture with Wayne. He said, come on. I'm a big fan of the show.
It was weird. He couldn't wait to get to us.
It was great. Really
weird.
It was really great.
At first, it was like, hey, it would have been nice. At the end of the show,
it was weird.
We had stayed
weird,
for the whole
great.
Show because we were entertained.
Well,
and when it came up, hey, would you like to? You damn straight we'd like to be back there and meet him. It was cool.
You know, it's been said that if you take a man's money, you have his money.
Rob remembers all the things he said.
All right, now, here we go. Now,
you take a man's time. This next lady.
Developing Wayne's talent. She even took care to find minor roles on the show.
Lucy. Lucy.
And she offered to produce a situation comedy for the brothers. Wayne would star as a hee-haw type character he'd played on the Lucy Show in 1965. Lucille Ball knew the public would love the series, but in an act of professional generosity, she first took pains to warn Wayne he could be typecast as a silly character.
She said, if you do this series, it will be a hit, and we'll all make a fortune. But you will be known for the rest of your life as that character.
Wow.
So he couldn't have been nicer, and it was it was like the maybe the best goof of all time, and I'm so glad it worked out for you guys. And I'm very happy
we had some
for
high
our
fives
success,
to the table, because we really had a fun time.
And we had a good night last night. I'm glad that the four of us could get out and just have a night. And
it was
God damn, it was a night.
It was surreal.
We'll
never forget it.
There were so many things. Like I said, I was going between laughing and enjoying myself.
Right.
Now,
right.
Rob. I think we got a really, in my mind, the strongest bit of dialogue he had was the closing. Now, here's what's also weird about the show. He gets done doing a song, and he's been on stage about 2 hours.
Right.
And he gives a little, parting shot. He gives a sermon, and then he says, good night, God bless America.
Right.
And he walks off the stage. There's no...
No encore.
But, I mean, there's no song.
Right.
I mean, it's like... He gets done with a song, and you really don't...
Well, they play him off. I mean, they play the band kicks in, and they play him
after
off.
The speech.
But it's a little monologue after the speech.
Right. You know, and, you know, my only complaint would be there's no data, don't you walk so fast.
That's the one you wanted.
Ouch.
Leave him wanting more, Don.
Dying for that one.
I know.
Dying.
We got Donkashine, though.
Right.
Yeah, that was right before God Bless America.
Donkashine. So he's getting ready to...
But the best was my going away. The best was Viva Las Vegas.
That was
the best.
So he talked a lot, and this is what he said at the very end. Rob's got it committed to memory.
Good.
It's pretty great. I was alternating between busting a gut because, you know, he was so goddamn serious.
Yeah. Right.
And all the Hunyaks were so serious.
Sure, he's playing to his crowd.
That I could not make direct eye contact with Rob.
No.
Because at that point, you know, like... Three drinks into the night,
right.
Knowing that we were going to be staying to meet Wayne Newton, it was like, okay, we're going to be here at least another hour.
Right.
I was really loose as a goose and just looking at Rob.
And it was okay. We could do it if there was singing or if there was something going on. But when he's doing a monologue like that.
Yeah,
just talking.
You got to be kind of mellow. Yeah,
okay, go ahead. Please now.
After he had asked all the veterans to stand, and he said, and whether you served in Bosnia or Iraq, Afghanistan, Japan... Any of the European theaters, please stand and let us thank you. And so everyone stood up and they applauded all the veterans. And he said, and I have a message for all you motherless, fatherless creatures who call yourselves terrorists. You keep up what you're doing, and we have many people who will proudly put on the cloth of our country and come over and tell you why America is the greatest country in the earth.
Yeah!
Bravo!
And, you know, he gets the standing ovation.
Yeah, of course.
Da, you know, da, and he, you know what?
Da,
he,
da, da,
he comes by it honest. Everybody knows you're going to get that at a Wayne Newton show.
Right. Da, da, da.
And that's it, right? And then he's done.
Da, yeah. Da,
man, ba, ba, ba.
Wow.
I'm looking at Rob and I said, what's the next song? And Rob said... I think that's it. We gotta go.
You get the red, white, and blue. He's done.
We gotta go backstage right now.
And the manager from the Birchmere comes over immediately.
John, yeah.
And I think in less than a half an hour, we were backstage with Wayne Newton.
Yeah,
it
back
was.
There,
we
bro.
Were backstage with Wayne Newton. What, God, what you know?
We were Hunyaks.
What? Just queers we are.
It's
surreal, though. I mean, it was just. You couldn't even take a step back and look at the people looking at him because it was just weird that he was that close.
Experience
I would say, really, probably, being with all you guys and being as we were all having such a good time, really, well, definitely since Frida died, it was the best weekend I've had.
Well, you said that last night.
Over
a
weekend.
That made us feel pretty damn good, too.
But
that
last night was just a hell of a lot. Hell of a lot of
sure
fun.
Was. Crazy
it
fun.
Was too weird.
Crazy fun.
Too weird. You know, and as we all said, we don't know whether we would have had this much fun in Vegas. It was, but
no,
it was like a little slice of Vegas right in our backyard.
It was so unexpected.
I worked with so many of the greats, Jack Benny, of course, Lucille Ball, when I appeared on the Lucy show. And he starts doing this. And now Rob and I had been talking about when he was on the Black and White Lucy show.
Right, the old one. I guess that's Here's Lucy.
Yeah.
Mrs. Carmichael.
And he was just... And in my opinion, at that time, when I watched it, I was a kid.
Right.
I thought it was a Mo.
Right. Yeah. I think a few people thought
right, like
that.
Like a big-time Mo. And
sure.
Out of everything in his career that he could have mentioned, you know, he doesn't mention being in any of the National Lampoon movies.
Right.
Or anything else. It's
Fort
like a...
Fort Fairlane.
Yeah, Fort Fairlane.
Doesn't mention it.
You know, when I was on Here's Lucy.
One of his background singers does an impression of him. So, yeah. I mean, he's always demonstrated, like a lot of those people that do that, that he can, he makes fun of himself. And it was just, he is what he is. He doesn't waver from it. And
no.
If you're going for a novelty, you get the novelty. And it's fun to watch all the people that are, you know, these cougars that are there that are digging Wayne Newton.
Right.
And
but
it was fun.
The average novelty act does not sing and play piano and
violin
and,
play the fiddle.
And the banjo.
Right.
And the banjo.
Oh,
I was scared he wasn't going to play the banjo. And Don,
don't
you
forget,
he wouldn't.
He conducts the orchestra.
Oh, yeah, I bet right. you that he wouldn't. He did.
He did.
You win.
You played a trumpet when I
you
saw him in Vegas.
You want a free drink.
I did.
I want
a lot of free drinks.
He wears the sparkly stuff, you know.
Yep.
You can see that up on the stage. He waves with the two hands like this. And the entrance is
hello,
pure
darling.
Vegas. It's just great.
Hello, darling. How are you? Good to see you.
And to get introduced, just like, you know, Frank Sinatra would introduce people.
Real
back
showbiz pals.
And you know what? I tell you, for whatever reason, the stars were aligned last night. If we sound like we're raving about this, we are, because we went as a goof, stayed as a goof, but stayed also because it was entertaining.
And I don't know if anybody caught this. I know it was when, who was the woman that was standing right there by us?
I don't know. Somebody with the Birchmere, I thought.
Right, okay. Well, she was standing there.
Oh, that came in with us?
Yeah.
I think she works for the Post.
Okay. Anyway, she's standing there. Well, God, I hope this makes the newspaper.
Right.
Because we were just making small talk, and he was getting ready to go do whatever. And I said, well, you know, hey, it was really a pleasure to meet you. And, you know, and we talked about it. He said, the sun is your friend.
Huh? He said that to you?
He said to me, the sun is your friend.
Uh-huh.
Tan makes you look healthy, makes you look fit.
Swear to Christ. You got that. Good for
swear
you.
Swear on Frida's life.
Oh, that's
swear
great.
To God.
That is
swear
great.
To God.
Well, as he's saying that, there's a good picture of you.
The sun.
You got the hand clasp on the arm, too.
The yes. sun is your friend.
Yes.
The
yes.
sun is your friend. This next lady. This lady, let's say hi. Ladies and gentlemen.
It was, it's a different kind of Wayne when you see him live. You know, it's, it was surreal.
We're nuts.
Dude, we are insane. I mean, we like to fancy ourselves as a bunch of gangsters walking in there. We actually just look like a bunch of queens.
Really?
We
you know
really
that
do.
We could
like
have been in the birdcage.
We could have been in the birdcage.
You know that song that I said don't rehearse because we're not going to do it?
I'm going to do it now.
I'm going to do it right now.
And lots of looks between us at the table when he would say the jive stuff. Because
oh, yeah.
Because that's what you go there for. You want to see
care.
That.
This is a hot room.
And did they say one thing that was really...
You're so much better than the crowd that was here last night.
Wait a minute. We weren't here last night.
Yeah.
He did say, sing a song.
Jive
he did
Las
say
Vegas.
One thing that I thought was truly funny.
Right.
Truly funny.
Yeah.
When he said, you don't know what it's like. The experience I had. This morning, to wake up in Fairfax, Virginia.
That's what he said. Yes.
Yeah,
and you know he's telling the truth.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, and you know when he walked into the Birchmere, you know, it was, this is Virginia. It was too much fun. Too much
fun.
I mean,
he ain't playing Vegas there, man.
Now, where, and Rob, you say he plays where? The Flamingo out in Vegas?
I think the Flamingo is his hotel, but he's doing like five different cities on this little mini tour.
Well, we, you know, good eye, Don, picking that out of the paper.
Yes, here. And thank you again.
Who knew?
That was just too weird. And we leave like a bunch of happy queens,
Are
too.
Are you kidding?
God damn, yeah.
I felt an anger that I'd never felt in my entire life. And I called my attorney in Washington, and I said, shit. I'm going after these bastards.
He's talking, of course, about us.
Yeah.
Very tough.
Luckily, last night you were able to bury the hatchet.
Yes, we couldn't have sucked up more. We could not have sucked
up
more.
On an estate he named Casa de Shenandoah,
yeah.
Peacocks and black swans strolled the grounds. He piloted his own helicopter and began breeding expensive Arabian horses on 50,000 acres of ranch land.
He's wham.
Of course, this is who we went to see last night.
Casa and Shenandoah. That's Virginia, yes.
Of course, the Guinea...
Casa de Shenandoah.
The Guinea hens run free.
The Guinea hens.
Of course.
The WAP hens.
Yes. And hey, you know what? I am going to give a tip of the hat to the band. I thought the band was
tight.
Tight, man.
Really tight band.
And you know what? I thought at first I was saying that, you know, that he travels around and he gets the local musicians that are, no, I think they,
brings
the, I think
with
the whole,
Mike.
The, no, the
that
whole
was
gang.
The, as they said in the introduction, the fabulous Wayne Newton Orchestra.
That's his Vegas
no, there was,
band.
No, there was a name for it.
Yeah, it had a name.
It had a name. So you missed that one. The Wayne Newton band had,
I don't remember the name.
The Wayne Newton Aggregation.
So, yeah, is that what it was?
I think that's it.
The Wayne Newton Aggregation.
Spending that would almost ruin him.
Oh, my, almost
but
ruin
Newton
him.
But Newton still coveted the one thing that would cement his standing in Las Vegas, his own hotel.
Yeah.
In 1980, he decided to buy the lavish Aladdin Hotel casino.
It was an honest-to-God attempt to say, I have been running my mouth my entire life about if I own my own place, how I would run it and what how I would like to see, and am I willing to put my money where my mouth is?
I didn't know he had his own hotel.
He didn't.
That didn't work out.
Finances have often bedeviled Newton.
Well,
in 1991...
Not after last night.
He made some
Is this a hot room? Is this a hot room?
It's so nice to see so many nice people.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you guys.
And then, of course, the people that Don and I ran into, we were doing one of our bathroom breaks together. And the two ladies that were out in the hallway, how are you going to spin it? How are you going to spin it?
How are you going to spin it?
We both, you know, I think we had just enough adult beverages to go, spin it? We're not going to spin anything.
I said to one of them, I was going to spin it. I think I said to her, smell my fingers.
Yes.
That's how close we got.
Wow.
How are you going to spin it?
You know,
we're going to spin it, baby, like this. That one of the greatest entertainers of all time.
Right, baby.
Took the time during his show to single out our table.
Yes, babe.
Our crew. Mm-hmm. And then after the show, we went back there with Wayne.
And you know what? I can't tell you why we were entertained. I really can't. I think it was a combination of...
Because we're retarded, baby.
We are retarded.
Showbiz,
but you
baby.
Know what? We were entertained.
The sun is your friend.
I have been out to Las Vegas where I have not been entertained, and that was entertained. There
but
you go.
You do 4,000 shows, you get it just right. I mean, he's obviously worked out the crazy...
The jive element, the schmaltzy... is the thing that I think is the best part of it.
Yeah,
it's
that's
the very
my favorite
best part.
Why else
and
go? If you go looking
ah,
for
welcome.
That, if you go looking for that, you're not going to miss out.
Right.
No. I'd see him again. I will see him again. It's too damn funny.
It's a place called the heart.
People take from me, or probably any performer, what it is they need. And you can't know what each of them needs. So the only shot you have at touching them in that place called the heart is to be what you are.
Yes, and you are what you are, Wayne.
That's
that
right.
Place called the heart.
The heart. He touched all of us queens, at our table.
And when
he touched us in the heart.
And when he took our time, he took a piece of our soul.
That's another. Rob's got the Rolodex of the things that he would say during the show.
Those motherless terrorists,
people who call themselves terrorists,
wearing the fabric of the United States of America.
And we'll continue to remind them.
Excuse me.
And incidentally, if you really think somebody's in the mafia,
yeah,
that is the way you want to handle it, too.
Sure.
You want to say it out loud. Are they in the mafia?
Yes, they are.
Rob, did you say when she asked you?
I said, yes, they're in the Polish mafia.
Oh, is that what you said?
You know him. No. Always on, Mike.
Always there. No off switch.
Always on.
Doing some shtick for the ladies.
And then she cried.
Did we mention that the Cougars all came home with us, too? That was the part that was
the bonus.
No, let's be honest. They came as far as the parking lot.
That's all.
That was all we needed. Man,
but
oh,
Christ,
man.
Was it loaded with Cougars?
You can learn a lot from those older women.
Here was the demo, besides us. Mm-hmm. And I refer to us as the TRL crowd.
Right.
Then you had... The next group would be the Long John Silver's crowd.
There were younger people than us there.
Yeah.
Right when we walked in, a couple of guys.
Oh, sure. The servers, the
no.
The waiters, the bartenders.
There were two what appeared to be college
kids at the bar.
I think there would have been there would have been more than that, but it was too expensive.
Yeah.
As a goof.
Yeah, yeah.
For the average college kid to go.
$100
a ticket. He makes himself a nice living.
So you had the average age then being over us, you know, older than us, over 50, and lots of Hawaiian shirts, t-shirts, flip flops, and then beyond that, the blue hairs. But the number one demo was the modern cougar.
Mm-hmm. I think women anywhere from late 40s to mid-50s,
it was like
or even upper 50s.
It was like a friggin' cougar convention.
Dolled
and
up.
They traveled in packs to the bathroom.
There were women.
Well, all women do, but.
There were older women there that they were putting it out there.
Yep.
And they were putting it out there for Wayne Newton.
That's right.
That's right.
For Wayne.
What about that one that walked up to the stage and got the kiss?
Yeah.
She was 5 years past cougardom, though.
But she
managed to look stunning.
hold on. Did you notice how she had like, almost like an old-time girdle that you would strap up in the back, like on Bonanza or something.
Like Wayne's.
That was obviously...
Like a corset.
A corset. Thank you. Yeah. That was
like a bustier.
Acting like a bustier.
Right.
And when she leaned over to get her kiss, I saw just a big, shriveled mass of looked like a couple of pieces of fruit that had been gone bad. And I wasn't seeing anything like nipple or anything.
Sun-dried apricots.
And it was that's how close we were. Yeah. That's how great it was. It was
wonderful.
That's what a cougar this woman was. And with these dried apricots, when she got up and went back to her seat, her face was like new and improved Joker products.
Really? Yeah. It was sure, like, it is a it was drum. Like,
hi, I just had my Botox.
It was wonderful.
I'm 53. Maybe I'm going to sleep with a 25-year-old tonight. Don't look at my apricot boobs. Hi, Wayne. Kiss me, Wayne.
So he's doing that, what, around the whole country? Is that what he's doing? He's playing
just
small rooms all over?
Just up and down the East Coast, like five or six.
He's playing the small rooms. If he comes to your town, go see Wayne Newton.
We argued about his age last night.
You can enjoy Wayne Newton whether you think he is the jivest performer in the history of show business. Even if you feel that way, you will not be disappointed with
his show.
He was
nice to us.
He was nice to us.
I believe he would turn around anyone, even the most hardened cynic.
I said last night, there's a percentage of... The audience, obviously, that are the Wayne Newton people. Then there's the percentage of the audience that go like we do. To go is kind of a goof. You know, in fact, not as kind of a goof, as a total goof.
Goof. Uh-huh.
And then you get there, and you're just, because it moves so quickly, you're there having a good time.
He turned 64 in April.
Wow. Congratulations, Wayne.
It's about the funniest goddamn night I've had in a long time.
It was a blast.
A charming night.
I never ask for pictures. First of all, we never get our picture taken with anybody.
Right.
But we have had our picture taken. The only one really that I have hanging on my wall at home, I think I've mentioned before, is Regis.
Right.
I got a picture of Regis and Kathy Lee autographed to me. But there's one of him and me.
It's up on the website now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
We're giving each other the Hollywood, my friend. And
yeah,
I am saying to him, my friend. And
sure.
I call Rob up and I said, really, I need a copy of that.
Yep.
Seriously, that's one that's so
the
funny.
That's the picture I like. The one where you're doing the handshake.
Yeah, that's so funny. I'd really put that on my wall and say to people, that's me and Wayne Newton, my showbiz friend.
What's the tan comedy made about you? What did he say?
The sun likes you.
Is that what it was? The sun likes you?
The sun likes you. And you. There's just other stuff, like he was just standing there, and I said, well, our radio show is kind of a unique show, and he wasn't even really listening. I said, shock jockery.
Right. He was doing what he has to do, what he had to. I mean, we were in there first. We were in there first, but what was he going to meet, like 30 people after that?
Yeah, and there was like 40 people hanging by the stage doors, surrounding his limo.
Just like the rock star that he is.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne Newton. Back to Fairfax, or perhaps a late flight out.
Amazing. Do you think he flies... on his own little Wayne Newton plane?
He'll stay awake for 50 hours, and then he'll sleep for 30. That's how he operates.
Oh, my God. Oh, you never know what's going to impress us, do you? Never know what's going to impress us.
JetBlue, Mike. I'm a common man with my Arabian horses.
I fly from a consolation.
JetBlue.
I've got my own special TV screen.
I'm sure you heard this over the weekend. Maybe you didn't. The story is, hey, Buzzy, I don't remember. Are you going to talk about Katie Couric?
No, actually.
Okay, good.
Please talk about that.
Love this. Yeah. You gotta love this.
She was at the show?
No. Oh. About airplanes.
Right.
She's leaving D.C. to go back to New York.
Right.
Which for some reason. Now, she's not started her new job yet as the anchor of the CBS News. Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of person does this? Seriously. The plane, the door has shut.
Right.
The plane is taxiing. They are starting to leave. Katie Couric gets up out of her seat and says, "Excuse me, I need to speak to the captain." They stop the plane. They open the door. Katie Couric's editor, film associate,
producer,
whoever, didn't make it in time and was out on the tarmac.
And they stop. They turn a whole plane around?
Yep.
Yeah. They stopped the plane, turned it around, went back, and picked up her assistant.
Oh, I bet everybody was happy on that plane.
No, they weren't.
Now,
different than when we used to travel and we used to root against each other making the plane.
Now, listen.
Katie.
Baby.
Wow.
Katie, baby.
Diva!
This is not a cool move to make.
Not.
This is not a cool move. I mean, you know what you say to the hairstylist or the publicist or whatever? You say, catch the next goddamn plane in 90 minutes.
I mean, seriously, it's just a flight to New York. Katie, please.
You don't knock on the door of the captain of the airplane, for God's sake.
These days.
I mean, Katie, let's be honest. It's a man's world, baby.
Katie, what you're taking from those people is more valuable than money. You're taking their time. You're taking their time when you make that plane turn around to get your producer. Please, Katie.
And what you're doing is you're keeping that captain from fighting the motherless, fatherless terrorists. And if Katie really cared, she'd wear the fabric, the cloth of the American flag. But can you imagine being on that plane?
Oh, now I will play my banjo and sing Waiting on the Robert E. Lee.
But can you imagine you're on the plane and they say, okay, they've shut the door, we're taxiing for takeoff, and Katie Couric gets up and says in front of everybody, I need to talk to the captain.
Well, you know what I don't understand? When you're making a gazillion dollars like that and you're working for, you know, you're the network news anchor for CBS, right. Why get a plane. Yeah, you know, instead of inconveniencing everybody, get
Mike,
your, rent net jets or something like that.
She's down to earth, Katie.
I don't get it.
She's down to earth, Katie.
Down to earth, yes. Pilot, turn the plane around, please.
Anybody else would be in jail for doing that.
That's their big thing, right?
Oh, absolutely.
I wish to speak to the captain, please. Listen, turn the plane around. I'm going to the Wayne Newton show.
You never hear Brokaw pull that crap.
No, and Rather never did it either.
Or even Jennings, the Canadian.
Right.
You know what? Never.
Never?
Never, 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 never.
I'll go so far to say Ann Curry wouldn't even do that.
Bob Schieffer does it all the time.
Yeah, at the very end. All the
time. Let's face it, Bob Schieffer's a prick. I think he's well known as a gigantic prick.
He's so high maintenance.
Oh, man.
God.
That's mean.
Would that everybody would be like Bob Schieffer. Seriously.
I'll sit in
and do the, I'll do it for you until... All right, when does the bitch get on board? She did what?
They call it Face the Nation. I call it Face the Prick. Hi, good morning. I'm Bob Schieffer. I guess it's Donald Rumsfeld. Katie's taking my job, so I feel like McKelt right to the quick. Are you effing retarded?
Yeah, that's him. That's his style, his interviewing style.
I'm Bob Schieffer. I'm more homesy and down to earth than the bitch on wheels that's coming in to replace me in a couple of weeks. And I want you to know something, folks. I proudly fought Fly Coach. I'm Bob Schieffer. I've got a penis.
Yes, sir. Now I have to go. What I do, I have to go because I have to see the Wayne Newton show. Thank you. Thank you very much. And
where's he playing,
especially,
Bob?
He's at the Birchmeyer. I will look forward to seeing him play his white violin.
That's the biggest boner that Wayne pulled last night.
Yes, Wayne Newton. Yeah, that's the only one that I think.
The name of the club is the Birchmeyer.
Right. Well, you know, he's Wayne Newton. He doesn't have to know those
details. It's great to be here at the Birchmeyer.
Right.
Great to be here at the Flamingo.
Hi to all your... This next man is such a talent. He's from Oregon. And let's say hi to him, shall we? Yes. And now, here's a song. Lady.
An evening with Mr. Wayne Newton.
Wow. A little touch of Vegas.
When you love someone, you love them with your whole soul.
I mean, who wears a tuxedo anymore on stage? It just doesn't happen anymore.
That's right.
And the tie came off.
It's not that I'm
scared. Now that I think about our outfits last night, perhaps That's what we should have raised the bar a little bit.
Oh, tuxes?
Tuxedos, yeah. with the red kerchief.
You would not have gone for it out of the blue if I had called you up on Saturday and said, we're going out tomorrow night, you got to get a tuxedo.
You know something? You're absolutely right.
No way.
Yeah. Okay. Plus, they thought we were mafia.
Hey, so. The mafia.
I'm not scared that I'm not going to grow old or that you're not going to grow old. What I'm scared is that we won't grow old together.
He remembers it. Genius.
Thanks, Don and Mike, for coming to my show.
Guys are super.
Thanks so much. Come backstage and get to see my velvet black smoking jacket. The sun likes you. Wow.
I know this outlaw.
Round of applause for Wayne Newton, everybody.
I know this outlaw.
Amen, sir.
Anyway, see our gay pictures. They're up on our website at dynamikewebsite.com.
Yeah, I'm looking cross-eyed in my pictures.
Now, we got plenty more to talk about.
Goddamn,
a big show today, so stay right there. We'll be right back.
Number 4 Arbitron rated. The Don and Mike Show.